Welcome to part two of our conversation with Kayla Ray. How often do you think it is that ailments that people suffer from, especially ones where it's chronic, it's going on, and the doctors are just like, well, try chiropractic work, or, you know, it's like, let's throw, you know, the kitchen sink at it and see what works, because they really don't know what's going on, because the symptoms are so, you know, all over the board. How often do
I even work with doctors and chiropractors, and they find their way to me and people from churches to work through their things.
How often do you think that those sort of ailments are things that are something that someone is suffering from spiritually, or I don't know if that's the right word for this, but something of that nature where that needs to be addressed, and it's not necessarily visiting the chiropractor every week. It's not necessarily doing this or that or taking that supplement. It's something where they have to look at something, you know, a little more deeper spiritual within themselves and get that addressed to heal what's ailing them.
I would honestly tell you 60-40.
Okay.
Like 60% that it's usually tied to, there's usually other ties. And I speak from this personally, but also with the people I work with, that, you know, even if you're completely holistic and you're into homeopathy and, you know, all supplements, which that's the route I've chosen to take, because I literally died three times from, you know, medical things that they did to me that, oops, sorry, by the way, you know. So, I mean, I gave up all of that, and I've learned, you know, some people's bodies can't absorb medication. Some people's body can't, you know, use supplements, or there's weird allergies to things, or certain, you know, a certain body part might not be working well. Sometimes it's tied to a past life. Sometimes it's tied to something in this life. There could be energy blockage. It's not always necessarily spiritual, but sometimes there's, trying to think of a good way to describe this. There can almost be like energy blockages within yourself, like created within, like, so say you're liver and your gallbladder. Mm-hmm. There could be, they're right next to each other and they should essentially function as one together. Mm-hmm. But you could have an emotional trauma tied to that somewhere, even if it was when you were, you know, 3 years old as a kid, something happened. But sometimes there can be like an emotional trauma trapped in that area. It's not always necessarily in the textbook. You know, there's some healing modalities that say this emotion is tied to this part of the body, this emotion is this part of the body, or this meridian. And sometimes it's not always, because we all are, you know, we're all different, and a lot of us are from different places, not just humans. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have other aspects aligned with us in our lives. And so sometimes it's a matter of removing that energetic blockage of, you know, something that's not going to show up in a test. You're not going to say, oh, maybe they want you to have your gallbladder removed to see if it works. But why? There's really nothing going wrong with it, but you just know you're not processing and digesting food the right way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it really is just your body creating its own blockage, really. And it can be emotional or energetic. It just really just depends on the person and, you know, what they're tied to.
Interesting. I know you identify as a universal light worker. What does it mean to be a universal light worker?
So universal being the whole universe, not just tied to, you know, this galaxy or this, you know, solar system, not just tied to Earth. I work a lot. A huge part of my guidance comes from essentially aliens, other planetary beings that I get a lot of frequencies and vibrations from, and I'm not talking like Mars and Venus and, you know, cute little green aliens. I get a lot of different types of communication that aren't our typical, you know, the ones that you see on Ancient Aliens and mm-hmm. stuff like that. As far as light worker, my personal take on that is, even though I work with a lot of dark things, because I will work through dark realms and, you know, dark dimensions, things like that, it's for helping, for healing and finding, you know, something for a person's optimal health and well-being and highest and best good. And sometimes it does involve working through a really dark place with people. So I'm a firm believer that to do, I guess, thorough energy work, thorough healing of a person, you have to address not just the white light, the, you know, light side of everything and just heal with light. You also have to address all those shadow parts and work through the dark things, whether they're directly with the person or if they're tied to a whole nother place. So in a sense, the Lightworker title is just kind of there because it's something a lot of people understand. They see Lightworker and it's like, oh, hey, this person can help me. Mm-hmm. So not to say I'm, you know, a demon conjurer by any means, but I have ways of communicating with these darker entities. And there are, believe it or not, a fair amount of darker entities that the best way to relate to them here on Earth is bounty hunters, right? Like, they want to come for... You might be having an issue with a really dark entity attachment, whether it's a house or a person that has these things attached to them. And there's usually probably something bigger, badder, and darker than that looking for that thing that's bothering somebody here, because they want it back where it belongs. Or it might have, you know, might even be serving a punishment, so to speak. So sometimes by just kind of cueing in those darker entities to ask them to take back what belongs to them, versus calling in, I mean, I always work with angels and guides and things like that, but sometimes it's a matter of letting the dark things take what they want as theirs that belongs to the dark place.
Can a person be born with a dark or evil soul?
Absolutely. It definitely does happen. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times too that people have miscarriages because of it. You know, they could have a high enough energy that maybe they're carrying a dark soul, but they have a miscarriage and don't understand why. And it can happen because of those things, just a natural protection coming through, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people, it's their life lesson, right? Like, they come through this whole life and they, you know, they're meant to be a shitty person here because they need to learn something about it. Unfortunately, it affects other people, but they need to do that to evolve and to move on to their next chapter.
If someone is, you know, born that way, it just as a dark soul, and in life they know it, they recognize it, others certainly do, is that something that can ever really be corrected in that person in this life, or is that just their path? And, you know, it's like, you know, like something like, okay, there's a maple tree out there. It's a maple tree. It's never going to be a weeping willow.
Right.
Is it just like, no, that's what you are?
That would really just depend on actually tapping into that person and that soul. Mm-hmm. Because there are some that are meant to learn the lesson or to, you know, transform and do something different. And there's others that are just kind of meant to serve that purpose. I mean, we see that, not to get political, but we see that some in politics or some in, you know, there's darker things here that try to manipulate other people to join them, essentially. I don't want to pick out just politics just for that, but there's other people, and, you know, there's people that we've all met, that family that has like the perfect family. And then there's that like one really horrible and you're like, where the hell did that person come from?
Yeah.
And why are they so horrible and evil towards everybody? And sometimes it really just is, maybe that whole family needs a lesson from that soul group, or maybe it really just is that individual person's lesson.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just such a diverse, we're all completely separate energy to some extent, right? We're all, I mean, we're all from a bigger place, but we all have different lessons. We all have different energy. We all have different vibrations and frequencies. So without addressing a specific person and the specific issue, sometimes it's kind of hard to, I guess, you know, like group it into one category.
Yeah. It's interesting because I've had the word soul group come up on the show twice in this last week, in the course of many, many years, never heard it before, but I don't know, things kind of work like that here.
They absolutely do. Welcome to the spiritual community, right?
It's been happening for 10 years. I mean, on our other show, Real Ghost Stories Online, we'll just inevitably have theme shows that I do not curate to be a theme. It's just the calls and the letters all seem to go in a certain direction.
I'll get the clients too. It's like all of a sudden everybody's on the edge of divorce, or everybody has PTSD that week or that month. It's like they all come in big groups usually.
It does. And then quite usually afterwards, it can be years later, it can be weeks or months later, where I'll get a letter from somebody saying, you know, I listened to this episode, it really helped me. And it's like, yeah, there was this theme. It's like, it wasn't on purpose. It's just, you know, and it kind of go, well, maybe
people needed it at the time.
Yeah. It's like, maybe there's a reason that's the way it happened. When we talk about soul groups, is that something, if you're in a soul group per se, does that soul group stick with each other into the next life? Like, for example, this is going to sound completely crazy, But I guess we're in a world where, you know, we talk about this stuff. Anything we talk about.
I just told crazy. You I talked to aliens.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So there's really, the bar has been set. Okay, so let's see if I can break the bar. Okay, the idea of the soul group could, for example, one's grandmother pass away, and you're a child and your grandmother passes away. Could that grandmother come back into the same soul group, theoretically, as the grandkid's child, or maybe the child's child, or some other person within that realm of family? Do soul groups basically recycle amongst themselves is really kind of the question.
So absolutely they can. You know, they can, and that depends again per soul, as you know, somebody in the family might be pregnant but having issues with the pregnancy, and all of a sudden grandma passes away and now the pregnancy goes smooth. So that can be, you know, grandma stepping in, I've passed to give life to this baby. So it can happen that way.
Okay.
You can also be, I mean, you hear the expression, the cliche expression all the time of there's no such thing as coincidence. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the people that come into our lives, whether it's, you know, family or close friends or just that person, I mean, maybe it's a client that I have once, right? There's a reason that you kind of come together, and usually they're your soul group or neighboring soul group.
Okay.
So to some extent, you vary different, really, like, you know, in a past life, I'll pick on us because we're the ones here. you know, we could have been brother and sister in one life, and then we could be husband and wife in another life. And maybe I was the male and you were the female. Mm-hmm. But it's just how our soul energy, because essentially as a soul, you're energy. You are not male. You're not female. You're not really, you're just energy.
Yeah.
You can also... I mean, we've all had those people in our lives, whether or at least experienced it, that you just, there's no reason you can't stand a person. They're nice. They're fun. Everybody else gets along with them. But for some reason, you just look at them and like, oh, Jesus, they're here again.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Or that family member or close friend that you just, no matter how hard you try, you just can't fit together anymore. Even if you were close, all of a sudden you just grow apart and you just can't fit anymore. Mm-hmm. You just have nothing in common. A lot of times those are other soul groups that were like, hey, I have this really cool lesson coming up, and I have this really cool lesson coming up, so why don't we get together in this life and try to figure this out? Mm-hmm. And those tend to be the things that just, you don't jive. The energy's not going to match. It's kind of like putting, you know, a magnet together. If you put the polarity the wrong way, they're going to push each other apart.
Sure.
So sometimes if you take those soul group energies and they're just not meant to be together, no matter how hard you try, and even if you know, okay, if, you know, this person did this, it wouldn't bother me at all. But this person does it, and all of a sudden I'm pissed off for 3 days because I just can't believe they did it.
Yeah.
And it could be literally the exact same thing. There's just people like that for no reason, and it's usually on an energetic soul level.
Tell me about a case or two where you intervened, and it was somebody that was suffering from something dark. Maybe it was a darker spirit that was following them. Something that really, you know, stood out to you and you know, took its toll on you as well.
Right. So that really stuck out to me was I actually had a healer reach out to me that she was trying to work with her friend. And he had some really dark attachments to him that he's had for a long time. And she, in turn, ended up attracting these attachments to her. So it was basically kind of living off both of them and kind of split between both of them. So they had both come in to work on that, and a lot of it was through realm and dimension work. He happened to practice magic and some darker magic things. That was just, you know, his path that he chose to be on. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately for her case, she wasn't able to clear it off of herself, which is a huge lesson. And that's a huge lesson even with paranormal investigations, is to have somebody that knows when things are going wrong for you or understands you well enough to know, hey, you're changing, something's going on. Mm-hmm. And when she was doing the healing, she was so focused on helping him, she wasn't realizing, oh, hey, these things are starting to take over me now. And now they're just going back and forth. And it was kind of, so I still call it STDs, even though it's not sexual, it's spiritually transmitted diseases.
Okay.
It can spread.
Okay.
So, you know, she had gotten these attachments that were starting to feed off of her. She was continuing to work on other people. Now this whole small group of her clientele was starting to have all these same issues.
Okay.
And starting to have, you know, major mood swings, major emotional issues, mental issues, like just, you know, depression, anxiety, all, you know, all those typical things. And it all started from that guy. But by her access, almost like charging it, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. it kind of spread to other clients of hers. So I was able to work, I worked starting with him from the root of it, then worked with her, and then ended up doing both of their clearings together also for any like residual things that were there. Mm-hmm. And she was able to go back and work on the rest of the people that she, you know, because they basically had little smidges of those, that energy attachment, basically. There has been, I did have a guy that was supposed to be coming in. So I do a lot of remote work also, mm-hmm. besides just people that come in person.
Yeah.
Sometimes the issue with that is as soon as I agree to have, you know, whether it's an investigation that I'm going to be part of that I'm not actually at the location, I'm just remote viewing and hanging out with a team that way, or, you know, I book an appointment ahead of time and I sit on the phone and do a consultation and talk with somebody before they come in. Usually once I start to agree to that, I start getting overloaded information and these things start coming to me. Uh-huh. So I had this guy's wonderful entity attachment hanging out at my house for a while. Which normally I would clear if it was something, but I knew it had to be here for when he came here. Mm-hmm. So I kind of hung out with this ridiculous entity for about 3 or 4 days in my house till the guy came for his appointment. But I mean, all is well, all, you know, was cleared from that, but it was just kind of, it basically knew, it kind of made things a bit awry here. It was really interesting. A lot of my friends felt really uncomfortable here because it was here. But it was serving its purpose. Like, it had to basically, it basically was trying to stop me from being able to remove it from this guy. So it was trying to meddle with things in my life. So I was able to control what it was meddling with in my life. But it was also giving that guy a break to be able to get here. Because up until that point, his car was breaking down. He was getting random, you know, horrible illnesses. He walked out the front door and his leg broke. Like, just random things tied to this entity. So basically by it kind of like hanging out here, waiting for him to get here for the appointment, it gave him the opportunity to actually make it here in person. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why I was willing to take the little hit there with it. It didn't really do anything to me specifically personally. But it does happen. There's also, I don't know how much time you have left.
You're good.
So a couple of cases I've dealt with, and I also had the unfortunate personal experience of it. There is, just like there's actual physical rape, there are people who claim to be healers or, you know, spiritual, who are very good at, you know, remote viewing, distance healing, that will actually do those kind of things too. And it can be very unpleasant, and people have horrible experiences from that. Mm-hmm. And it's no less traumatic than something, you know, than that happening physically here. And that can be male or female, either way, right?
Sure.
It's not necessarily an incubus or a succubus type situation. I mean, those exist, a whole other category from what I'm talking about, though. But it can literally be like another spiritual person having this desire or wanting to do this to you just to traumatize you or torment you. And so that's kind of like a whole other level of clearing, because you're actually working with a physical human being energy versus basically, you know, an entity or, you know, some sort of energy spirit form.
Very, very interesting. Can a person have a negative, if a person has a negative energy or entity attached to them, does it always take a healer to help move it away? Or can that be done DIY, if you will? If they're aware, they're conscious of it, they want this to go away, is that something one can cleanse themselves of by actions or path in life?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I mean, it's kind of good to know. I myself, as a healer, have come across a couple things, like the DNA guy that I talked about that stripped my DNA. Mm-hmm. It's always good to know a point when I can't fix this myself, or I need somebody else to make sure I'm not missing any pieces with this, because you don't want lingering pieces hanging out there either. Mm-hmm. So I know that's not super helpful. I'm trying to think of a better way to put it, because it is, again, everything's so individual per situation. It would depend on how severe it is, right? Is this really just tied to a short lesson they have, or is this something they picked up because they did something wrong?
Sure.
There are times just intent will help. And mm-hmm. I mean, stage is great for clearing things, but I've had people make big messes with their houses or themselves because they just think, oh, I'm going to light this big stick and burn it and wave some smoke around and everything's all good. That's not always how that works. It can help with, you know, if you had the crotchy old man from 4 hours down that's kind of hanging out at your house, making things miserable, moving things around, that's probably going to work. If you have something from another realm or dimension or, you know, just another place in general, just that's not really going to cut it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get attachments from, you know, human spirits, or they can be from, you know, so many different places. That's, you know, infamous amount of places. So it really depends on the level of the spirit, the energy of it. There's definitely absolutely cases where you can just, you know, a salt bath or smudging yourself or some crystals that can help clear, you know, even just standing in the creek of running water and intending, or a shower for that matter, and intending anything that's not serving you be washed away. Or if there's anything attached to you that's negative, harmful, and draining, that it be washed away and released from you. Just in general in life, I'm a big fan of, if it's already broken, I can try to fix it, because what am I going to do, break it worse? And sure, then I can call for help if I need to.
Okay.
So I always, even with, like, you know, the people that I work with, whether it's student-wise or clients, I encourage them to try it first, unless I know, you know, unless talking to them, I know this is something that, like, this is going to be a challenge, this needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
But it doesn't hurt to try, because your own personal power and demanding, commanding that this thing no longer control you, says a lot. And if that doesn't work out, then you call somebody.
Okay. Why is it always sage? Could it be basil? Could it be thyme? Could it be rosemary? Is it the intent that you're using, or what is it?
Personal opinion, and yes, I'm probably going to get yelled at from this. I'll wait for the emails and messages.
Yeah. Why?
Honestly, I don't freaking use it half the time.
Okay.
One, I have allergies. I don't want to breathe it in. I do sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just feel like it. Sometimes I'm guided to do that, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it is fitting. I deal with a ton of people that have extreme sensitivities. Like I was saying, you know, more with the other part of my healing, where it's the more physical, severe medical cases.
Sure.
Those people, I can't use those things around. Or when I work remotely, if I was doing a clearing where you are, what am I going to do? Mail it to you and have you light it for me? No. It's more about the energy, who you call forth, how you work.
Okay.
I do kind of feel, I do believe sage and herbs do have their purpose. However, it's the power of the energy that's really doing the work and the intent.
Okay. So I could use catnip if I had the intent.
Sure.
Okay.
You might use marijuana, go for it.
Okay. Well, that'd be a waste.
Nobody's going to complain.
That'd be a waste. Well, could you just go around and smoke a joint and call that good? Or
right. We'll just bless it and call a day. We're good.
I'm blessing my house a lot. Wow. Who knew?
So, then there's another part of it where, right, like drugs can draw in other entities and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
But, really it can kind of happen in so many different ways. You can't go around being paranoid about it.
Sure.
It's essentially how I feel about it. You don't want to live your life thinking like, well, if I go to the cemetery, I'm going to get an entity. Oh my God, if I drink too much, I'm going to attract something and it's going to be horrible. Life goes on. There's people that can help you. You call a plumber when your sink breaks. You call somebody like me when you have these spiritual issues. It's kind of that simple.
Yeah, it's like life will happen, good and the bad. You try and avoid it the best you can to have something attached, but sometimes it just happens.
Right. You don't get to pick and choose. That's not really how life works. We have choices. But, you know, we also don't always make the right choice. Hello, we're human. and we also have lessons we have to learn, period. Shit happens. It does.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Kayla Ray. A big thank you to her for joining us on the program and sharing her experiences with us. And thank you for supporting the show and keeping us on the air. We wouldn't exist without you. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.